So the destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We'll do there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God, he's coming at you!
Alright, when it comes to 2-year-old Olivia James, you are not the father.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
What's up, guys? This is James Gutman, and this is the day after WrestleMania 22. For those of you who like dates, it's April 3rd, 2006. WrestleMania 22 is in the bag. It is done. It is complete. It is finished. It is finito. For those of you who like words that end in O. Yes, so what we have here, guys, is a special edition of JG's Radio Free Insanity. We're going to be joined on the phone line by Dr. Tom Pritchard, columnist for WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Also, former co-host of Bite This, former head trainer for WWE. Going to give his thoughts on the event, as well as mine. We're going to talk a little bit about it, go back and forth for a while. So, all right, guys, so let's bring on a guy who watched WrestleMania 22, just like everyone else did on Sunday. World Wrestling Insanity columnist, our very own Dr. Tom Pritchard. Tom, what's up, man?
Well, I'm still basking in the glow of WrestleMania 22, and I think everybody else is too. I thought it was a pretty decent show, man. As I said before, I've seen a lot worse, and I thought the guys really pulled it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was definitely, before we even get into the matches, one of those shows that, I mean, we went into expecting just a disaster. It really didn't have anything going into it, and I think anything at that point would have really made people a little happier than they thought they'd be.
Yeah, and that's the thing about WrestleMania. Everybody on that show wants to do well. In fact, they want to exceed everybody's expectations and prove that they belong in WrestleMania. And I think pretty much everybody did that last night with the matches they had and with the opportunity that was given to them. I thought everybody stepped up to the plate. And while it wasn't the most outstanding WrestleMania or had a standout moment, it did have a few standout moments. I think Shawn Michaels climbing to the top of that ladder and coming down on Vince through the garbage can. I mean, my God. And JR's commentary all the way through that match, that's something people are going to remember for a long, long time, I think. And at the same time, the surprise finishes in both matches. I'm sure there were a lot of people who expected Rey Mysterio or who hoped Rey was going to win, but weren't quite sure if it was going to swing that way or not. We're pretty happy about that. And, of course, everybody, I believe, 90% of the people, 99.9% probably, percent, figured Triple H was going to walk out the champion. And I like being surprised like that. I like that WWE is now trying to pull out the stops and keep people guessing again.
See, the question, though, with that, the surprise finishes and surprises, if a surprise kind of lends itself to, I don't say being a disappointment, but the kind of thing that, it almost makes no sense to me. It seems like, I mean, Tyson Tomko coming out and winning the world title would have been a surprise too, but no one really would want to see that. You know what I mean when I say that?
Sure. Well, I do, but at the same time, here's the deal I shoot at John Cena, and I said this last night a couple times to the people I was watching with. You know, John Cena has that rock syndrome, I think, and once the people turn on you like that, well, give it back to him. And Cena's a great heel.
Uh-huh.
Cena can come with the comments and witty sayings like Rock did. And why not, man? I mean, the people are begging to hate him. Let the people hate him. Cena, I believe, understands this business a lot more than people give him credit for. He's still pretty well grounded. He understands that fans are going to be fickle, and you can't please everybody. But what you got to remember too is the guy really does have talent. I think his punches look better than they ever have last night, And that's improvement. He's still learning, and he's got a long way to go. But my God, as long as he keeps improving, I would give the guy credit, and I would let the people do what they want with him, man. Hate him all they want, and let him come back on him. Let him start having some fun.
See, but that's actually a thing that I agree with you, and I think a lot of people were saying that John Cena was a natural heel, you know, and I think so much of his promos and the work that he did on the microphone were kind of meant to be a heel, and by turning him babyface, I mean, they really, they went from being Eminem to Vanilla Ice in a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah, and that could be a great brainstorm from creative that went bad, and there's no such thing that you can't fix about it. I mean, again, let the guy go and flow in the natural way that he needs to flow, and I think everybody will be happier with him, and eventually that will turn him back and gain the respect of the people. And once again, I think there's still a lot of people that respect John Cena, but it's become cool to boo it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, because you're in the industry and you've seen a lot of these guys come and go, and have you ever seen a guy getting the kind of reactions that John Cena gets, being able to hold the belt as long as he has and actually going into WrestleMania and retaining? I mean, this isn't the kind of thing where he started getting booed last week. I mean, this has been going on for a while. What do you think is the rationale? How much do you think it plays into the fact that, you know, Triple H is always, you know, everyone says he's the top heel of Raw? I mean, how much is politics and how much of it just makes no sense?
You know what? I think there's a lot of elements involved in a lot of what you just said, politics and just the fact that this didn't happen overnight. It's something that has been going on for quite a while now that you look at, and I remember when Cena was supposed to break out and everybody was looking at him and just waiting for him to make that big breakout, have that big breakout moment, and it didn't happen when everybody was waiting for it. And then he got a second chance, and they gave him the ball, and he was running with it, but still, it seemed as though the fans didn't want to get behind the guy. Now, I don't know, because I'm not there up close and personal, and I don't see John Cena on a regular basis, and I don't know what's going on in the creative meeting, so I can't put my foot or my finger on what they're doing in house shows. All I know is what I can catch on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's Vanilla Ice now. But John hasn't even been rapping in a while. I haven't heard any of his stuff in a while. But once he started doing it and doing the gay stuff and the potty, you know, humor and all that stuff, man, I mean, you know, that's okay for a little bit, but enough is enough. And people know when it rings true to them. And even though John is that kind of guy, I saw some of the cute whole movies and videos and the playing football and the All-American guy and all that stuff. Eesh, you know, Leave It to Beaver. No, I don't know if that's what people want.
No.
They'd rather see their guys, you know, smart-ass, gritty, and those are the kind of people that I think today people want to get behind. Real, a real badass. I think that's why Triple H comes across as such, is even though he's an arrogant prick, you know, people like arrogant pricks these days.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, the thing with Cena, even beyond that, which gets me, is that they actually call him out repeatedly for his wrestling ability. Whether you think he's a good wrestler or not, I mean, Triple H went out there on Raw and said that his one move was pumping up his shoes. And then last night, specifically, I remember, he did the top rope crossbody, and he missed it. And Jerry Lawler said, John, what are you doing? That's not one of the moves in your repertoire, or something like that. And it's, why make reference to the real weaknesses of your world champion on a regular basis?
Well, that's a good point, but I think make reference to him, because then when you show that he has more in his repertoire than what you're actually bringing out, and then it proves you wrong, and a heel can be wrong and still keep his heat. The thing I really liked about the match last night was Triple H, you know, they played the press conference, and Triple H said it's going to be the easiest match of his career, which was a tip-off to me eventually, because why would you bury the guy so much if you're going to bury him and go out and win? Well, that was the way everybody was looking at it, and Triple H doing the job the way he did it last night, I think, helped John Cena become more credible. He, again, I think his punches were the best I've ever seen. He did do things that were out of his repertoire last night. I can't think of what else it was, but I guess that was something that Lawler brought to everybody's attention, you know, with crossbody. But at the same time, John has really improved, and Triple H, as a heel, being that cocky, arrogant, surefire heel, he knows that he can say anything, and especially when he gets beat, he was overconfident. He underestimated his opponent, which is, you know, the worst thing you can do in anything. And, man, it's all those elements that you bring, and it's real, and I think they were trying to bring that to life in the match. Go ahead, call him out, because the people are booing him anyway. Take advantage of the situation. Yeah. And call him on it. But then he has to perform, and he has to step up in the ring, and I think last night, as the underdog, even as a champion, he was the underdog. You could see the frustration on his face. But I thought it worked well because that was the story of the match. Triple H was going to walk away with this thing. It was going to be the easiest match of his life, of his career. Well, he just tapped out to John Cena.
Yeah.
And, you know, John stepped up to the plate and showed he was a man, he was a champion, and all that talk will get you nowhere. You have to put up or shut up. Last night, Triple H had to shut up.
See, I agree with almost everything you're saying and everything everyone else has been saying. I think that the ending of the match was good. I think Cena throughout the match actually showed that he's got a better repertoire than they've given him credit for. He had some reversals in there I thought were well put together. A lot of what he did, I think last night showed that he's willing to take it that extra step, especially for a show like WrestleMania. My whole confusion was the placement on the card. I thought that if you're going to have, in the SmackDown main event, a guy like Rey Mysterio taking the world title, and what was maybe not as unexpected, but unexpected. A lot of people thought Randy Orton was going to come out of that with the belt. Why not put that as the last match, and why not give the fans something to go home kind of happy with? I mean, Cena was being booed so heavily, they couldn't even show him the night before at the Hall of Fame on television, because the two times that he was on the USA Network, I mean, they filled up with boos.
Yeah.
What do you think was the rationale behind that, and would you have done it differently if you were putting the show together?
Well, once again, we're talking about a lot of outside elements, a lot of elements that you can't anticipate, and you really can't appreciate until you're in that situation. And I think Triple H, having the confidence that he can close out the show, and probably wanting to do the favor for John Cena, and probably, once again, and I don't know, because again, I haven't been around WWE inside for a couple of years now, but I would think, knowing Triple H, yeah, and he gets lambasted for a lot of stuff, holding people back and pushing himself.
I haven't heard any of that.
Huh?
I said, I haven't heard any of that.
Yeah, okay. Well, the thing is, I think Triple H wants, at this stage in his career, I could maybe see it in the matches last night, and I could see it in his promos, that he it would be so beneficial to him and the business if he made stars now. And he has the ability and the power to pick and choose. Well, he probably likes Cena because they're from the same part of the country. Killer Kowalski trained both the guys, and they have that bond, I believe. And I think, in spite of everything, Triple H really wants to get Cena over. And I think finishing up WrestleMania, the biggest show of the year, being on last, the main event, Triple H has the power to call that shot. And I believe that he probably felt it would be better to end it that way. And once again, if you have the power to call your shots and have the power to write your own history, why not?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the real answer. You know, whether it was going to be a better match or not, I'm sure it could be argued, you know, we could have the feel-good moment of the night with Ray walking out and holding the belt up high. But at the same time, I think the chemistry between Cena and Triple H and the planning of the show, probably they threw it in Hunter's lap and said, what do you want to do?
Yeah. I mean, if one thing came out of it, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of the way they closed it out. It definitely got people talking, and it's an end to a show that I think people are going to remember for a little while. For whatever reasons, they remember it. This is actually, we're going to be posting this late Monday night, so by the time this is going to go up, Raw is going to be over, but I think a lot of what plays out on Raw is going to have to do with it, too. I think WWE kind of put this show together to get people to come back and keep tuning in, and I think an ending like that was almost like a cliffhanger, because you know it can't end there. It can't end with this guy who they were chanting either, you know, let's go Cena and fuck you Cena all at once. So it was definitely a bizarre moment to see him get a tap out in the end.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. It's so many people that want to jeer Cena. They're going to tune in to see if Triple H gets a rematch tonight and he takes the title. And, of course, the people that love John want to tune in to see how he's going to take the adversity that they faced last night at WrestleMania. But either way, you're right. This is what WWE is best at doing, getting people talking about the product again. And it was getting a little stale. It was getting predictable and really uninteresting. And last night, along with Cena and Triple H, again, Shawn Michaels doing the DX chop and showing some attitude again and really getting fired up. You could tell. You can watch Shawn in the ring. If anybody who knows Shawn can tell when he is feeling it and when he has his working shoes on. And last night he did. He had them on. And I said right before the match that watch this, Vince is going to get at least one hard way, and I think he got two. You know, on top of his head, and his both those guys were so fired up, you could tell. Yeah. And that translates all the way through that card, all the way through that show. That's the object of WrestleMania, to get people talking, get people to start up the interest again, because they're plugging WrestleMania 23 as of last night.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is what when WWE is on and they are at their best. It is when they have stars that people are interested in, either positive or negative reaction. As long as you're reacting, I think WWE will play to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. I covered Raw tonight. God Almighty, I want to see how they're going to follow it up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things, too, I mean, we'll move on to the McMahon-Michaels match, and since we already brought it up, I think a lot of what WWE did last night was subtle. And I think that's something that, I mean, it doesn't exactly make it a standout show, but it's kind of a return to something they haven't done in a while. I think the DX chops, although they weren't, I don't know if they're necessarily going to play out into anything long term. Little things like that are going to get people talking, as opposed to these big beat you over the head angles of, you know, crazy stuff happening. And I think it was a good change for WWE to kind of have respect for their fans and to look at the show and expect them to enjoy it based on the small things and not necessarily these huge shocking, you know, moments and surprises.
Well, you're right. And once again, when everybody remembers, and everybody obviously still remembered DX last night, and they remember that era, they remember that time, they remember how hot things were, and it was the era of The Rock and Austin and DX and Shawn and Hunter and China and the Outlaws. God Almighty, that was a magical moment in WWE. WWF, actually. And they realize they have lost a little bit of the magic. And one of the reasons I think is, God, I realize it's a corporate business, a corporate company in corporate world out there in sports entertainment, and it's not professional wrestling anymore and all that other stuff. But you know what? It really is professional wrestling. It really is still done in a ring. That's a stage. You know, the other stuff is garnish. The other stuff is they put a lot of emphasis on the backstage vignettes and things like that, promos. But when it comes right down to it, it is about getting in the ring. It is about who's going to win the title or who's going to be put in the casket or who's going to pull this match out? Who's going to win?
Yeah.
Is it going to be Hulk or Andre? Is it going to be Cena or Triple H? Or can Rey Mysterio actually become the smallest heavyweight champion in history? I mean, my God. Only in WWE can those things be played out and in sports entertainment. But when you start getting too cookie-cutter and when you start getting too corporate and put that in your business where it reflects on everything going on, gosh, I mean, what I'm trying to say is that when you make the guys conform too much, it's going to become so watered down and so vanilla, and I think that's what WWE has found out in the last couple of years, that yes, you do need to be professional, and yes, it is corporate, and yes, it's big business, but you know what made this business great, in my opinion, was the characters and was the people who were real. The Bruiser Brodies, the Terry Funks, and yes, the Shawn Michaels when he was in DX, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock. Those guys were real, and they weren't handcuffed by the corporate restraints that are put on them now.
I say that because I
know, for not even having been around the last couple of years, I know how some of the people in power treat the boys and talk to the guys like that, and girls. And, you know, morale is a big thing, man. You need to have some discipline, yeah, but you also need to let these guys know that what they're doing is appreciated, and you know what? Give them their due sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's always given these days.
No, I mean, I think one of the main things that WWE does fail to realize, and hopefully, I mean, last night may have been a return to that in a couple of instances you saw it. It has been about in-your-face and that kind of attitude that they have. And I think a lot of people lost sight of the fact. They look at the late 90s and they say, well, you know, ECW, that was in-your-face. But it's always been a big part of wrestling and the things it sold. You brought up Bruiser Brody. You brought up Abdullah the Butcher. But, I mean, one of the main things that introduced me to outside wrestling, outside of WWF when I was a kid, was watching Abdullah the Butcher flowing with blood and poking somebody in the head with a fork. And, I mean, that was years before, you know, ECW or the Attitude Generation. Wrestling and the things that are memorable are the things that kind of ingrain in your head. And when you're doing, like you say, cookie-cutter stuff, that doesn't really stay with you. And I found that, especially the last couple of months, a lot of times Raw would happen on a Monday, and by Wednesday I would totally forget what happened on Raw. And, I mean, that's not the kind of thing you want your fans to take away. And I think last night, you know, WrestleMania, I think, was a change and kind of getting us back to that, you know, remembering certain things and really debating and looking at reasons behind things, and we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I can remember when, if I missed Raw, I felt like I missed something. And now it's like I don't really care. I mean, I don't care as much. But yeah, guys who stood out, guys who were allowed to stand out, and even take chances. You know, the deal with Austin and the what.
Uh-huh.
You know, we all know how that came about, or some of us don't know, but with the phone call to Christian, and all Austin was doing the next night during his vignette was being Steve. He was playing around,
uh-huh.
And Vince actually didn't want that to air. But it aired, and it made such impact, it was one of those things where, okay, let's run with it.
Yep.
And that's what I love so much about the business then was, things could happen that Vince would maybe get upset about and say, God damn it, why did you let that go on the air like that? And the next night going, God damn it, that was great. Well, that was fantastic. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
You see, that isn't happening as much nowadays because you do have so many writers who come from Hollywood and everything is scripted. And golly, man, there's not so much spontaneity as there used to be. And that's what's missing in guys that can go out there and pull it off. I mean, Austin just happened to have that magic and have that spark that pretty much anything he did turned to gold.
Yeah.
And, that's a big gaping hole these days because, again, you have people in there who think they know best, and as we've seen, they don't always know anything.
Well, let me ask you this. This is one of the more controversial things of the night, and I had an immediate opinion when I saw it. Now sitting back and kind of watching the way the whole event played out, it did change a little bit, and I see both sides of the story, and I'm actually curious as to where you stand on it. Vince McMahon being stretchered out at the end of the match with Shawn Michaels, giving the finger to the camera. Do you see it as no-selling, or do you see it as a statement that it's kind of a different attitude? How do you view it?
Well, we both, the people, friends of mine I was watching with last night, we both kind of looked at each other and said, now what is that about? And I look at it as Vince telling everybody, go to hell. And I really took it, and this is kind of funny, I took it as telling Brett, go to hell.
That's a good point.
For some reason, because Howard Finkel made the comment before he introduced the Hall of Fame inductees that Bret Hart was uncomfortable being here tonight, but let me introduce the other people. And this was a big match. Bret Hart I think that would have got people talking even more if Bret would have been involved somehow, but I think Vince was telling everybody, screw you, I can do what I want, I'll do what I want, and by God, there's going to be more of it down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the end, when I first watched it, when it first happened, my immediate reaction was, I can't believe this guy is now being stretchered out, and even on his way out, he has to show that he still has enough, you know, wits about him to give the thing, the kind of thing that you wouldn't expect. I mean, it's like a Teddy Hart thing, the kind of a no-sell of an end, but I mean, I think in the context of the way things went, and as the night went on and I watched it more, I really started to think that it was more about a message than just no-selling, so I mean, that kind of made it a little bit better for me. What about the...
Let me just comment on that real quick, because you really do have to understand Vince's psyche and inside his head. When Vince... Here's the guy who can get away with telling you whatever he wants and letting you know how he thinks. He's not shy in telling people what he thinks. So, I agree. There was a statement involved there, and I think it was an inside statement to a lot of people.
Let's move on to Mysterio's match and just the fact, number one, it was shorter than a lot of people expected. I thought it was going to be the show stealer, and it ended up being about 9 minutes. The three of them going in there, Ray taking out the shocking end. What did you think about the match? What did you think about the finish? What did you think about the time that went into it?
Okay, now here's where I have to tell you. We were watching, and the winds were blowing. We had hurricane winds in Louisville last night, man, and we missed the actual finish. But I saw the match up until I think Kurt went outside, and then we came back on right as Ray was walking up the aisle with the belt. So the beginning of the match I really enjoyed. I liked the double bow in the back. Angle did do Orton and Ray, mm-hmm. and they had some pretty cool three-way spots in there. I think it might have gone short because you had that dynamic of Rey Mysterio and Orton and Kurt, and they probably, but you have to remember the match itself might have gone 9 minutes, but you had entrances, you had the band play Ray song. I mean, so that whole segment, if you count where it started, it might have gone a whole 15 or maybe even 20 minutes, I don't know.
No, yeah, it was with the big Aztec Chief Ray Strongbow going into the...
man, that's the Azteca, man, that was so cool. But you know, I mean, you gotta look at the whole segment, you can't just look at the in-ring action as a lot of us do, because, you know, we're talking about... We're talking about all kind of stuff, man.
What do you give the shelf life on Rey Mysterio as a world champion? How long do you really think he can hold that belt in, I mean, just the environment that he's in as tall as he is?
Well, hopefully he'll hold it more than a week. He may hold it till the next pay-per-view. But I don't know anybody fresh right now who can get a shot with Rey. Van Damme is on SmackDown, right?
No, he's on...
Oh, Monday Night. Yes, yeah, sure, I know this stuff. But who on SmackDown is a challenger for Rey Mysterio?
They got Orton, about it, yeah.
Well, yeah, Orton, and then what?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they have people they can just shove up there to kind of hotshot it, but no one that they really built up.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's what I mean. You pretty much, now you've given the shot to Ray. He's got the belt. now what do you do with him? Let's make him the Cinderella champion. Let's have him win a couple matches and then put it on, okay, Orton. Well, we've done that. And then what? Well, you know, golly, I'm not feeling any heat from that at all.
Yeah, well, I think it's cool about Ray is the fact that he is so small, and I think that if WWE plays their cards right, they could probably do a lot with him as champion. I mean, especially you have Kane and Big Show, you have all these huge guys, and to put him in a feud, say, with somebody who is so much taller than him, maybe even with an Undertaker type of thing, and have Ray go in there, I think the mentality of a lot of fans would be that this guy is so small, how is he ever going to beat all these challengers? And it kind of be almost like what they did with Eddie Guerrero when he was smaller than a lot of the people he fought, and how is this guy retaining his title over and over again?
Yeah, no doubt, and hopefully they will do that. I'll never forget the match, I believe it was in San Diego, Ray had with Brock Lesnar, and Brock made Ray look like a world beater, and it looked credible. It looked like everything Ray did with Brock was plausible that it could happen, and Brock sold it as a big man would sell, being stung and like a bee, just hit, stick and move. And if there's somebody in there that can work Ray's style, and a lot of those guys can, it'll work. I just don't know who's next. I don't know who that heavy challenge is going to come from Ray.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, man. I mean, the SmackDown roster is
dilapidated.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't think it's a B show at all. I think they got some really great guys on there, and I think the camaraderie is a lot better than it is on Raw. But as far as a challenge and as far as somebody to get interested with Ray as a underdog champion, I don't know.
What about Batista? How do you fit him in there? He was there last night. He did the thing with Orton, and now Orton's not the champion. Do you think Batista and Ray could be something that could sell? And how would they go about it? And do you think it'll even happen?
Well, I don't know how healthy Batista is, and I don't know that is a money match. I mean, you got two baby faces in there. Unless Batista turns into a monster heel, I don't think people want to boo him. Gosh, once again, I think it depends on the timing and how quick Batista would be able to come back. They need somebody now for Rey Mysterio. They need him for Backlash.
Yeah.
Not Backlash, pardon me, that's a Raw show. God, see, I'm reading it. You know what? That's what's so great about watching both shows. You get so lost and confused and who's doing what nowadays. So anyway,
slip right on.
Yeah, honest to God, Batista and Ray, it would probably be a great match. The interest, I don't know, you know, unless something is done to create interest there.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to Mark Henry and The Undertaker, which everyone thought was going to just suck the cabin pressure out of the entire arena. And
right.
They went in there, and surprising as hell, it wasn't that bad. What did you think of the match? I mean, that was my opinion, but what did you think of the match and the outcome and just the way it played out?
Okay, do you know how long Mark Henry has been in WWE?
I think since like John Adams was in office, I think.
Well, yeah, 96. Now, so he's on his 10th year.
Yeah.
And by now, Mark should know something. And Mark should have a little feeling. And he does. I was really shocked. I was really surprised last night. And I was happy also to see Mark finally get the opportunity with a guy like Undertaker. Well, no, I take that back, with Undertaker, because he's the only guy like Undertaker. He's the only guy to have a match like that with. And it didn't suck the life out of the building. It was went well beyond my expectations of the match, too. Is Mark ever going to be a technical wizard? No. But is he learning how to get facial expressions and some body language in there? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, again, anytime I see improvement of somebody like that, a guy who's had so many starts and stops and never really quite got off the ground as fast as WWE would have liked him to, I look at it from that viewpoint. I look at it from the viewpoint of knowing Mark from day one and watching him progress and seeing where he is now. And he should have been at this stage 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed the match. you know, no shock, no surprise there, but it was a much better match than any of us watching here thought it would be.
See, I think the confusing thing that I have with Henry, and it's always been the issue that I've had with him, Mark Henry is the type of guy that if any fan were to run into somebody, not Mark Henry, but somebody the same size as Mark Henry, in a supermarket or in a store, you would stop and stare at Mark Henry. I mean, because he's just huge. And when he wore the suit on SmackDown, you could see it. He's built like a house. And I think so many of the gimmicks, they've tried to get him to speak and to be, you know, sexual chocolate and this and that. They have this infatuation with taking the you know, the big black guys, and they always love sex, the big black guys, as opposed to just being a monster. And I think that Mark Henry, I think if given kind of the correct gimmick, especially after last night and seeing how he went in there with The Undertaker, I think he could probably be a lot more useful than they've had him being for a while.
Well, once again, that was something he's grown into 10 years now. When Mark first came to WWF, he was this happy, jolly, laughing, joking, play around, not too serious kind of guy. You had a hard time getting Mark Henry to buckle down. In real life, it was difficult to get Mark to apply himself. He was strong in short bursts. He could lift heavy weight, you know, one good rep or two good reps. But man, to get him on his endurance and to get him cooking and to get him to concentrate was a task. And he felt in the beginning that he was out of the Olympics and he was already a celebrity. He was already a superstar. And by God, you know, people in WWF are going to know who he is, and they already should know who he is. Man, he's Mark Henry, World's Strongest Man. Well, that doesn't always translate. I mean, the politics and just general perception in the locker room, Mark had a real difficult time until he got angry, and he got, in real life, some real attitude. excuse me. That translated into who he really became. When Teddy Long came back, it was one of those things, and when Red Dog was there, Rodney, becoming mad and angry, that was Mark. Mark was mad and angry because he felt he hadn't got his opportunity, he hadn't got a fair shake, and he was pissed. You know, he got sent to OVW, and he sat around, and he gained a lot of weight, and then he kept telling, was being told, lose your weight, gain your weight, lose your weight, and he got a lot of mixed messages. So I think the natural progression in becoming a monster took a while for Mark to believe he could be that monster. Yeah. You know, like I said, he was jolly and happy, and nothing bothered him, and all of a sudden, you know, when he started bothering him, and he got pissed for real, and then it translated into the ring.
Gets back to that attitude we talked about before, about having that natural kind of anger and that attitude and that in-your-face type of mentality when you go in there, and that's what gets over.
Yeah, definitely, and it just took him a while to find it.
Yeah, this was definitely one of those times where I think Henry's loss is going to be, it's probably one of the highlights, if not the highlight of his career so far. I think that match last night, even in a loss, is going to do him a lot better than a lot of the wins that he's had for a while.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.